We get it underway by welcoming to the show a very talented stand-up comedian who has released his first stand-up special entitled January 3rd. We're pleased to welcome TJ to the program. TJ, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thank you for having me, Rich. I really appreciate it.
Your special was released on Election Day. Did you not think we would get enough humor out of the election?
I definitely thought that. But I also thought I could add some more to it that might be more interesting. Because the election humor is kind of like, all right, we've been seeing that for the past couple of years, so maybe let's try something else. That was the goal. I don't know if it was achieved because there was so much out of the election. So,
and this is a special. It's, again, titled January 3rd. That's a significant date because that was your birthday.
That was my birthday. Well, it still is. I haven't changed my birthday. It's still the same. In less than a month, I'm going to be turning another year older. So I'm very excited. We taped it on my birthday last year. Well, not last year. Still this year. January 3rd, 2020. And I figured that would be a very appropriate title for it.
Well, you've got a unique perspective on things. You were born and raised in Haiti. How old were you when you learned English?
Well, I was 19 years old when I moved here. I moved here in 2008. So we take English classes in Haiti in high school. So I had 4 years of English under my belt. And I thought that was something. But then I came here, I'm sitting in college courses, and I'm realizing I have no idea what these professors are talking about. So I had to go on a second English learning journey. So It's a difficult question to answer because let's say I learned English academically in Haiti for 4 years, and then I actually learned how to speak English in the U.S. in my 2 years in college.
Have you been surprised at how little many Americans know about Haiti?
I was at first, but then I traveled more and spoke to more people, and I realized, actually, this makes perfect sense.
We're an interesting people here. Has your perspective on things changed over the last few years, and I guess what we'll eventually call the Trump era or the Trump era, has that changed your view of America and Americans?
It hasn't changed it per se, but I would say what it's done is giving me a much clearer idea of what the identity of an American is, what it really means to be an American, because there's so many little pockets. Because, you know, doing stand-up, I got to travel this country a little bit, get to see and hear different points of views. And what I realize is there's a central idea of what an American is, but I've also noticed there's maybe 10 to 12 different countries inside of the United States of America. Does that make sense?
Well, it does, absolutely. And I guess, you know, for someone who's always been here, I didn't think we had fixed things completely. I understood we had a long way to go, but I didn't realize until the last 4 years how much work we still had left to do in this country.
Oh, my God. There's a lot to do, and it's very easy to forget that you have that work to do when you have a very eloquent, a very nice-looking black man at the top of the game, and you think, oh, well, we've done it all. And then 4 years later, you get this guy, and that realize you go, oh, all right. All that stuff was still underneath. We just sort of swept it under the rug to keep moving because we have a good representation of one of the main problems, which is quite frankly possibly the American original sin. Like, every country, I think, has their original sin, but racism is, in a unique way, it's an American original sin that I don't think other countries have on that level.
Well, and of course, we've seen under Trump this rise in nationalism, this America First concept, and that, well, it started even before he got elected with his attacks from people from outside of the United States and around the world, and those attacks continued to even after your homeland suffered great devastation. You wrote a really powerful piece in the New York Times setting the record straight about Haiti.
That is correct, Rich. I was very honored and proud that I got to do that because that happened about 2 years or so ago. when Trump called a few countries, including Haiti and Nigeria, and that was deeply personal to me because at the time I was in the process of getting my green card. So I moved here, I worked, got my Social Security I'm a tax-paying immigrant doing all of the stuff correctly, and then I'm in the process of getting the last, which is the last stage for an immigrant to be fully integrated into American society. You get a green card, and as I'm doing that, the commander-in-chief goes out and calls people from my country, you know, a whole country. Basically, we don't need you guys here. So it kind of hit home deeply, and now I started to wonder, am I in jeopardy now? Is my process going to last much longer? Because there's a very strong sentiment against my people. And my green card took about 2.5 years to complete, which normally doesn't take that long. So maybe it did play a role, but I'd like to think it, I don't know. I don't really know what to think, but the good news is it's over. I got my green card, so I'm very happy about that. And so when Trump made the comments, I don't know if I can curse on your radio show, Rich. Can I say the actual word?
Well, we bleeped it out as best we could. Yeah, we're good.
Okay, yeah. So he used those words very strong, and a lot of people were angry. And I knew an editor at the New York Times through my comedy, and she asked me if I wanted to say something. So I thought, I actually do want to say something. So I wrote the piece and sent it to them, and they edited it. We had a few back and forth, and they liked it, so they decided to publish it. And that's how that story came to be. That piece is called Meet Haiti's People. What makes a country great? Meet Haiti's People.
We're talking with TJ. His new special is called January 3rd. It's available on Vimeo. Are you hopeful that a new president, a new administration are going to make our immigration system a lot better for people?
I am hopeful. We have to have hope. Hope is a nice trick, because if we don't have it, we have nothing left. So we have to have it. But I also know not to fall into this idea that once Trump is removed, every problem is solved, because we know that's not the case at all. So I hope this administration can take some steps towards a better system that allows people to come in a much more humane way, if that makes sense.
You've witnessed things in our country, racism, worrying about immigration and the way we're handling that, but also the way we've dealt with women in this country. What have your impressions been? What are your thoughts on the Me Too movement?
Oh, man. I have a 10-minute bit in the special about that, so this is a good time to plug it. If you go ahead and watch the special to know my full thoughts on the Me Too movement, but I think it's a necessary movement. It was almost inevitable because those things were happening and no one brought them up, or no one was getting chastised for behaving that way. So I'm in full support of the movement, of at least that aspect of it, of bringing this thing to the surface and saying, hey, we can't keep doing this to half of the population. And then with any movement, There's a moment where it goes beyond correcting and it goes into overcorrecting. And now it becomes ruled by fear, and it becomes a movement where you can't, like, we don't even know who the real villains are anymore, because now how do I put this delicately? Like, comedically, I know how to put this, but this is a radio show. I want to make sure I say this in a way people get what I'm saying. We're trying to punish people for things that maybe do not deserve punishment, or we're trying to punish everyone with the same sentence for very different crimes. Does that make sense, Rich?
It does. No, absolutely. I think you put it very well. I have to ask you this, TJ, because I feel this, we're in agreement on it, but can you explain why you're convinced dogs have it all figured out?
You know, it's that bit really came from envy and jealousy, because I don't know 100% that they actually have it figured out, but it just seems that way, because dogs live in the moment. Dogs are always happy. They're happy or they're sleepy. They have a good life. They don't have to worry about bills. They don't have to worry about who likes them. They don't have to worry about their children's future. They don't have to have a 401k. It's all great to be a dog. You just have a guy that feeds you. Like humans that are supposed to be the top of the food chain are picking up your droppings. I mean, what else do you need to have a good life? Dogs are amazing, man. I wish I could be a dog.
And I thought from the get-go it made perfect sense that Trump's the first president in forever that didn't have a dog.
Yes, it does. It does. The greatest friend a man can have, obviously, the worst possible president, he doesn't concern himself with that. And maybe dogs don't like him. And that's a good thing, because dogs can tell you about someone's character, too.
They can, indeed. TJ's new special available on Vimeo, Video on Demand, called January 3rd. Very, very funny guy. TJ, congratulations on the special, and thanks so much for making some time for us this afternoon. We wish you continued success and good health, and let's all hope the coming year is a much better one.
All right. Thank you very much. I wanted to point out one quick thing. The special is also available on Amazon Prime Video.
So excellent.
If you want to go get it on that. That's the much larger platform. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you for having me, Rich. I really enjoyed chatting with you. And hello to all the people in Maine listening right now.